and good evening, and welcome to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. I'm Bhakti Larry Huff. Today, about 1 in 3 children and youth ages 2 to 19 in the United States are already overweight or obese. Overweight children are more likely to become overweight adults. Some experts believe that if obesity among children continues to increase at this rate, our current generation could become the first in American history to live shorter lives than their parents. And playing a critical role in the obesity epidemic is children's diet at school. And with me this evening to talk about these issues is Beth Berry, Relationship Manager for the Alliance for Healthier Generations Healthy Schools Program. Good evening, Ms. Berry, and welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us this evening to talk about a very serious issue, childhood obesity. When did it first come to the attention of the medical or healthcare community that childhood obesity was a problem?
I think it's been a gradual increasing of awareness about that, and everyone is concerned. I think the challenge has been, how can we address it? Because there's so many different factors that contribute to childhood obesity. So the Alliance for a Healthier Generation has our program where we are trying to affect all areas that influence a child's health, because we do realize it's a multifaceted problem and there's not one magic bullet that's going to solve it.
I see. And if I may digress just for a moment, tell us a little something about the organization and exactly what your mission is and how you go about it.
Yeah, the Alliance for a Healthier Generation was founded in 2005 by the American Heart Association and the Clinton Foundation, with funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And our mission is to decrease the prevalence of childhood obesity by 2015 and to help all young people in the nation to live healthy lifestyles. And we go about that by trying to influence all areas that affect a child's health. So I work with the Healthy Schools Program. We also have staff who work with businesses and industry that address physical activity and nutrition and insurance companies and healthcare providers. And we also work with youth outside of school, and we have information and try to help parents as mm-hmm. well.
Okay. Why the emphasis on the schools? Why is that important? Children, of course, spend a great deal of their day in school and they eat there, of course, but one might think that the home, you know, might be the best place to start. But why is that piece so critical in this?
Well, homes are extremely important, which is why we do address that information with parents and with kids outside of school with our initiatives with our youth program. In schools, we know the vast majority of children are in school. So that's where they are. So we have a wonderful opportunity to reach them there. And we also know that for many communities, the school is one of the largest employers. So if we can also positively impact the health of the school employees and the students, it can really affect in a positive way the health of that community. So we feel like that's where the students are. That's where a majority in a lot of communities, the adults are. And since schools are there to educate, and their national health education standards and physical education standards, some federal guidelines for making sure students get nutrition education, that we are there to help support those efforts.
Okay. You're listening to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. And I'm speaking with Beth Berry. She is the Relationship Manager for the Alliance for a Healthier Generations Healthy Schools Program. Considering all you just said, and considering some of the food that you find in schools, especially the snack machines and drink machines, have schools to some degree been negligent in safeguarding the health of the children?
I think schools have had a lot of challenges, especially with the economics. And for a lot of schools, the way they raise funds is through the canteens and vending machines. So it is a challenge when they are selling items that are popular but maybe of less nutritional value to have them think about how they could do that differently. And we are trying to help increase their awareness. We also have content manager in each of the areas that we focus on at school, a national expert. We have one in competitive foods and beverages. And her whole purpose for being is to help schools with how they can align their vending and canteen offerings to guidelines that we have that would help them be healthier. And a lot of times it's just letting them know and helping them see that there are vendors out there that have healthier options. And if you get the students involved and the students are on board with it, it's much easier to make the changes. Once you can convince the administrators and the powers that have control over the canteen that the students really will buy flavored water, or the students really will buy, you know, a granola bar that doesn't have too much sugar or fat rather than a candy bar. That a lot of times, if those other things aren't there, the students are going to buy what's there, and especially if they have had input into the selection of what goes in there.
I see. Can you give me an example, perhaps, of a school where this has taken place, where students may have been involved in helping to select healthier selections for their vending machines?
There have been a number of schools that they have made some changes as far as having student-led in the state. I am working on site with 11 school districts, and we've actually had with Empower Me at School is our program that helps kids make these decisions at school. And I don't really have an example of anyone who has had the student-led changes, but we're working on that. Yeah. We're working on that. We have had Empower Me for Life programs done in Walterboro and Colleton County School District, where the high school students actually went through that curriculum with kids in three different summer camps this summer for them to make healthier nutritional choices and become more physically active. So that counterpart is the Empower Me at School, and we are still getting folks to embrace that in the state.
I once heard a phrase that goes something like this, that the problem with children are their parents. And I think what was meant was that children could do a lot better in a lot of areas if their parents were aware and educated to whatever the issue is. Say in the case of childhood obesity, I mean, on numerous occasions, I've seen families having dinner at a fast food restaurant, the fries, the burgers, right, the white bread, all the rest of it. And so that's getting their children off on the wrong track, it would seem. Could you speak to that, how you get parents to understand? Because often they've lived that way. That's the way they were brought up.
Right.
So they don't know any better.
Right. And I think that's a huge problem. And what we have done, one of a really exciting tool that we have is the Be Well book. It's where we have 15 mothers from across the country who talk about changes they've made to help their families be healthier, being more physically active, and eating better. So we're trying to educate parents. Most schools that I work with are very interested in doing that. These books have been available for free. I've had a number of schools that have ordered those. They've shared them with the parents. On our website, we also have information for parents on how you can be a healthy role model, how to deal with picky eaters, how to reduce your screen time. And as far as eating at fast food restaurants, a number of fast food restaurants have tried to make some healthier selections now available. And so we're working with parents on, you can still, in a lot of cases, go to your fast food restaurant occasionally, and there are some healthier options available. And so educating the students, educating the parents, And then, as I mentioned, we have staff who are working with the food and beverage industries to help them make these voluntary agreements that they will have healthier food options. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times if you have it available and you make people aware, then they will do what's healthy.
That's encouraging. This is Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. And I'm Bhakti Larry Huff speaking with Beth Berry of the Alliance for a Healthier Generations Healthy Schools Program. Just what are we up against when we talk about childhood obesity? Sometimes you see children that almost seem destined to be large, 3 and 4 year old children who are already appearing to be overweight.
Right.
Is genetics, does that play a role in one's size? Because you often hear people talk about, well, big bone people or people just meant to be big.
Right. Family history and genetics, you know, there's always, that's always a factor. However, I think sometimes if you look a little closer, we were talking about how this is such a complex problem. What you might find is that it's not so much that the family is just destined to be overweight, but it might be how the family cooks, if the family isn't used to being very physically active, those kinds of things. What are the portion sizes? So genetics can always be a factor, but there's so many other things that we can do to modify that anyone can make changes to be healthier. But it's complex. And the availability of healthy foods. We know, and I'm sure you've heard the term of food deserts, where we know there are areas of our state, areas of the country where there's not a lot of fresh produce available that's easily accessible. Maybe the grocery stores that are available do not carry some of the healthiest products. Some people are destined just to do a lot of their shopping at the corner market that may just have kind of fast food items. And also people's access to safe places to be physically active. If you're in a rural community and you live beside a highway, you know, that isn't very conducive to you getting out and being physically active, or if there are not recreational opportunities in your community, or if you don't live in a place where it's physically safe for you to be outside and play if your parents are at work. So there's so many other factors involved.
All right. So where are we headed? This issue has been termed an epidemic, meaning that we have a serious problem on our hands. If we don't get a handle on it, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our communities and our society if we don't get a grip on childhood obesity?
Well, like you said, we are afraid that if we don't, that this will be the first generation that will not live as long as their parents, which is a very, very scary thing. And then the economy and the cost of health care. The Department of Health and Environmental Control has just come out with a report on the burden of obesity, the economic burden. It's tremendous. In this state, the different negative health consequences of obesity, it's tremendous in this state and in the country. So it could bankrupt us. So, I mean, the quality of life I'm extremely concerned about. We want people to live healthy lives and to live long, healthy lives. So it's scary that people may not live as long, they may not be as healthy, and that healthcare costs may just be exorbitant.
Considering that, the resources being put in on the front end to the kind of work that you're doing, are they adequate to make a dent?
I think we are making a dent, and we are partnering. Again, we all know you can't do it alone. It's all about partnership. So that's why I mentioned that we're working with the food and beverage industry. We were a founding partner with Michelle Obama's physical activity campaign. We all need to work together. So we are making inroads, even in just our program, the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. We are now working with 13,000 schools across the country, and that's over about 8 million children. And so we feel like we are having a significant impact. And what we are trying to do is make a sustainable changes over time. And our program is free. Anyone can join it. Parents can join the Alliance, community members, schools can join. I happen to work on site, and in a number of our states, we have someone like me, a relationship manager, that can work with a number of school districts on site to provide some hands-on assistance. But any school can work and get online assistance, real live people that will work with you by phone, online, and our content managers, our experts in the areas that we address are available to help as well.
This is Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. I'm Bhakti Larry Huff speaking with Beth Berry. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. 90.9 FM, Radio Baha'i. Welcome back to Insight, the Radio Baha'i Public Affairs talk show. I am Bhakti Larry Huff, and my guest this evening is Beth Berry. She is the Relationship Manager for the Alliance for a Healthier Generations Healthy Schools program. Ms. Berry, what are the current manifestations of what is happening to the children today that should really open our eyes and make us take notice?
We are seeing so many children now who have diabetes, which used to be called, we're calling it type 2 diabetes. It used to be called adult onset diabetes. We've had to drop that name because so many children have it, and we know so many negative things that can happen with diabetes and if diabetes is not treated. So we are seeing that. Asthma, children suffering with asthma, that is the number one reason children miss school, and we know it's exacerbated by being overweight. Sleep apnea is worse in children who are overweight, and we know that can lead to children not being at their best for learning. Either they're sleepy in school, or sometimes it leads to behavior problems. So there are a number of immediate consequences of overweight and obesity in children, as well as being more likely to be victims of bullying.
How does that lead to being victims of bullying, I guess?
Well, on one hand,
on
you would say,
fat, you,
right, yeah, right. Okay. And you would say being different. However, lately, you know, with our statistics, it's not so much. Sometimes it's not the exception. Mm-hmm. But yes, they tend to have more teasing.
I see. Well, what is your process for working with schools? Say you start with a school or two today. What process do you put in place, and what are your goals and objectives, and how do you know you're making a difference?
Okay, we have what we call our six-step process for continuous improvement in creating healthier learning environments. And our whole initiative starts with a framework of evidence-based criteria. Criteria in school meals, competitive foods and beverages, health education, physical education, student wellness, staff wellness, that we know research has shown can have a positive effect on childhood obesity and student and staff health. So this framework forms the basis of our program. And in our first step of the six-step process, we want schools to engage a school wellness council or some other committee that is willing to look at school health issues. And we want parents involved, staff, students, community stakeholders. So that is a one way, when you were talking about parents, a great thing parents can do is ask their schools, do you have a school wellness council, or is there a committee that is interested in addressing health issues? The second thing we have the schools do working through their school wellness council is to complete an inventory or needs assessment for the school. And again, it's that criteria that I mentioned. They answer yes, no, whether or not their school meets that criteria. And they enter that online, and then automatically suggested action steps will be generated for them. And the action steps would actually just be every criteria that they answered no to. But then our program is unique in that we want schools to look at that list of suggested action steps and think about what's important to their school, what is feasible at their school. You know, if they need administrative support, if they need parent support or staff or student, is that available? And what is sustainable? What is going to last after they're gone? And so with that, they then go into step three. They make their action plan. They select the action steps they want to work on. Then they develop their plan. The fourth step, we help them identify resources. We have over 1,200 resources in our resource database. They have all been vetted by the American Heart Association Scientific Review Panel, and they're available to anybody that joins our program. And then the fifth step is they implement their plan. Our sixth step is that every year they'll celebrate their successes, and we try to help them do that because we know this is a marathon and not a sprint, and every success that we have is important, and we need to help them celebrate that.
Indeed. So how many schools in this area are you working with on that?
I'm actually working with 104 schools in 11 districts in South Carolina. And in this area, I'm working with Clarendon 1 and 2. I'm working with, depending on how you define the area, Florence 1, the three Marion school districts, Bamberg 1 and 2, which they're not necessarily in this area.
Okay. And how are they doing?
Great. Everybody, we monitor their progress, as you were mentioning. When they complete their inventory needs assessment, we have each of the areas that we answer questions about leveled as bronze, silver, or gold, just so we can monitor progress. And also, if a school is at a minimum of bronze in each of the seven areas, then they qualify to apply for our National Recognition Award, which is really a very prestigious award. And so we have been monitoring the progress, and we are seeing some tremendous progress. I'm really, really pleased. And we've had five schools in the state receive our national award, and a number receive the State Department of Education's Healthy School Award.
Ms. Berry, I'm really delighted to hear about the success you're having with your program and the number of schools that have embraced your program, but I'm wondering if you encounter any resistance from schools or administrators who are aware of the data, who are aware of the childhood obesity epidemic, but for whatever reason are not inclined to embrace a program like yours or make changes that could help to address the issue.
I do agree with you. I think most all administrators are aware and they are concerned. What I see as one of the biggest challenges is they are held accountable for test scores. And although we have research showing that healthier students learn better and healthier staff have reduced absenteeism or more productive, the fact is their feet are being held to the fire for test scores. And with reduced staff, it's hard for them to ask staff to do one more thing, which we feel like we are helping them do things they're already required to do, but it's a challenge because, again, that's not where the accountability is and their jobs aren't on the line for making progress in the areas that promote student and staff health.
Mm-hmm. So how do you help them when they face such a challenge?
I try to help them see that I will be there to work with them on site for multiple years, to be an extra set of hands at no charge, and to help them see how easily this can be incorporated into the responsibilities that they already have. So that it is something that is really going to help them immediately and not something they're going to have to wait long term to see.
Has that been effective in getting something kind of?
It has so far. I cannot say that every district that I have approached has agreed to the program. Every one of them has had interest. They have all been interested. But again, I think sometimes it's just, right now we've really got to concentrate on our test scores and I can't even think about this at the moment. So it's it's, as I said, a marathon with getting the schools on board as well.
Right. I understand. Okay. Well, in the waning minutes here, could you just kind of summarize all this for us and let us know what, again, we need to do. I mean, anybody who is interested in this issue and wants to try and make a difference with it, be it an individual or through an organization, once again, what's the process to get engaged?
If they would go to our website, www.healthiergenerationsingular.org, and then on that page, they have access. We have tabs at the top to at home, at school, in the community, so they can join. If they're extremely interested in schools, if they would click on at school, they can join. They can associate themselves with their child's school or a school in their community, and it will give them the steps that they can take to help make that school healthy.
Very good. Beth Berry is the Relationship Manager for the Alliance for a Healthier Generations Healthy Schools program. Thank you so much for being with us on Insight This Week.
Thank you for having me.